When wilt thou save the people, O God of mercy, when? The people or the people, not thrones and crowns, but men. Flowers of thy heart, O God, are they? Let them not pass like weeds away. Their heritage, a sunless day. God save the people. Shall crime bring crime forever? Strength aiding still the strong. Is it thy will, O Father, that man shall toil for wrong? Oh, no, say thy mountains, no, say thy skies. Man's clouded sun shall brightly rise, and songs be heard instead of sighs. God save the people. When wilt thou save the people, O God of mercy, when? The people are the people, not thrones and crowns, but men. O God save the people. For thine they are, thy children as thy angels, fair. Save the people from despair. God save the people. God save the people. God save the people. God save the people. When will God save the people? Oh God of mercy, when? The people, Lord, the people.
Not thrones and crowns,
but men, yeah. God save the people, for thine they are. Thy children as thy angels, fair. Save the people from despair. God save the people. God save the people. God save the people.
If you're old enough, remember when that song came out in 1969, please raise your hand. When I was listening to the song, my pants flared out. It was an unusual experience. We have four missionaries in Honduras today. We have Kathy Kelly and Dr. Skinner and Dr. Robards and Carl Kelly. And I invite you to pray for them just a moment in silence. And we'll stand for our greeting and our opening hymn. Brothers and sisters, let us stand before the Lord. And as the friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. God spoke from the mountain and said, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Almighty God, write your law upon our hearts. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Almighty God, write your law upon our hearts. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Almighty God, write your law upon our hearts. Our hymn is number 103, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Please join me at our mutual blessing and our confession and pardon. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, it is in Holy Scripture that you tell us the truth, and by your Holy Spirit that you pierce our hearts with sorrow. We have given our love and our loyalty to many things, and we have forgotten to center our affection and praise in you. Our hearts are full of idols, and we continue to create new ones. We foolishly dream that wealth or power or pleasure or status will fill us up, but all they do is leave us empty and bewildered. Forgive us for ignoring your truth written in our hearts, for closing our eyes to your mighty hand in creation, and for not surrendering all that we are to the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Open our eyes to the wreckage of sin that is around us and in us all, that we may own our common illness and seek your healing. Amen. As the Holy Spirit searches your heart, I invite you to make a confession of your sin to Almighty God in silence. Brothers and sisters, receive the gospel. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
before you're seated, turn to someone and say, I think I'm going to go see Godspell. I think I'm going to go see Godspell. If those of you in the center aisle will register your attendance and pass the pads down. If you're a visitor, we're glad you came to worship with us today. And if you give us your address, we'd like to send you a brief letter. I remind all members of our church council that we have a short meeting after worship down the hallway in the Trinity classroom. On Thursday nights, we gather in the chapel right behind this room to pray for half an hour. We'd like you to join us. The class on Islam, I fixed 35 handouts last week. We had about 44 people show up. I've made extra handouts. We convene tonight at from 6 to 7:15 in the Trinity classroom. And our Bible studies, men's and women's, and my study in Corinthians, continues on Wednesday nights. We have supper at 5 and study at 6. And we do invite you to continue to pray for the Honduras team. Bill? Several weeks ago, my friend Bill Carver came to me with something that had happened to him, a word of personal witness, and he wants to share that with the church.
This is a little sailor's log or a journal that I used to keep when I was aboard ship, serving the Lord through my work as a helmsman and an unrep helmsman. And the entry today is, and I wish I'd gotten here with my smartphone and been able to get the latitude and the longitude of this exact place, which is where I usually put the position when I give these sailor's log entries. But today, Sunday, 01.24.2015.1115, MSUMC witness, ground zero, right here. A short description of recent callings to discipleship by God, colon. That's all I've got, so don't worry about it. I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to relay to you some things that have been happening to me that I like to think of as God's callings to discipleship. Our hymn, 362, we went to the choir loft and we practiced a little bit, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, has completely taken my idea of how I'm going to describe this and turned it completely upside down. So what I'm going to do is just say a prayer and just ask Jesus to keep me on track. Otherwise, my attention deficit disorder will have me rambling around like a BB in a boxcar. But probably not. At any rate, I have been struggling with some physical problems and issues that the Lord, in His wisdom, has chosen not to take me, but has chosen to keep me here as a disciple of His. And I truly feel blessed about this. New Year's Eve weekend, I went to visit my brother Tom and Beth, and I started having some problems and some issues of lightheadedness and not feeling so good. I had, like all of us have had, sinusitis and all kinds of issues with head colds and all, with all this rain and all the pollen and the mildew and all this dampness and everything. And so I didn't feel so good, and I started having lightheadedness, what they refer to in the medical field as positional orthopnea. And I said, boys, I think I'm going to go on home. So I got in the truck and I drove myself back home, which probably wasn't a very smart idea, but I made it. I got home about 7:30, and I took my Xarelto and my other medications, the prescription things that I'm on for blood clots and all. It's a blood thinner. I still didn't feel so good, so I went and sat down and started watching TV. Nova is my favorite. And then some of the other SCTV programs and the Christian TV, and I just didn't feel right. I didn't feel well. So I turned the TV off at 8:30 in the middle of one of my favorite shows. It was a program on, I think it was Nova, they were talking about the ship that went down in the Bermuda Triangle this summer. and the little Apache salvage tug, which is a sister ship that I served on as helmsman. And so I was interested in it, but it just didn't feel good. So I got up and I turned all the lights off and I spruced up around the kitchen. And I just kept feeling worse and worse. And I thought, well, I can do this. And so I went and fed the little kitty cat outside. And then I said, well, I just got, and I turned the lights off and I forgot to turn the light off at the bed, to turn it on at the bed. And I went and I walked in the bedroom and I got maybe 5 feet away from the bed and I don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't know if it was a TIA, a stroke, if it was a seizure. It was not a blackout spell. I didn't lose consciousness. But I just went completely black and went down face first on the concrete floor. And I just lay there. And I said, oh, Lord, what in the world? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And he said to me, he put his hand on my shoulder. I felt it. I didn't see a light. I didn't see anything. But he tapped me. He touched me on the shoulder and said, Bill, sometimes bad things happen to everybody. Put my hand up on my face, and I mean, I'm down that blood just streaming out of it, you know. I cut myself here, cut myself on the eyelid, two places on the eye, brow, and down here, and I mean, blood was just going everywhere. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And I lay there, collecting my thoughts. I said, well, he's not taking me. I've got Xarelto on board, and I just took it an hour ago. I don't think I'm having a cerebral bleed or anything. I'm cogent. So I got up and went to the bathroom and put a towel on my face and went back to the bed. I didn't want to go to the emergency room. I've had some issues with the emergency room. It's kind of some difficulties down there. And I really did. I said, Bill. So I lay down on the bed and I went to sleep. It's about 9 o'clock. And I woke up about 1:30 at 2 o'clock. And I said, oh, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? I don't want to go. Please don't make me go. I just don't want to. He said, Bill, get up and go to the ER. So I got up, put my coat on. It was cold, and I got in my truck, and I drove myself to the ER. No, I didn't call EMS. I just drove myself. I was cogent. I mean, I wasn't having any problems. And I got to the ER, and I said, oh, gosh, please be with me. Don't abandon me. So they called me back, and the person that dealt with me, his name is Whitehead. Scott Whitehead. He's a PA. And he was wonderful. A wonderful servant of the Lord through his ministry in the ER. We spent 4.5 hours together. 10 years in the infantry he spent in Iran and Afghanistan. Boots on the ground. Not as a medic. Boots on the ground. He got out of the army and decided medicine would be his calling. He's a survivor. The Lord saved him and pushed him through a PA program in Houston, Texas. 175 people started and 45 graduated. He's a survivor. He is truly a servant of God. I didn't know this at the time, but he stayed with me and sutured me up. He wanted me to get a CT, a scan, to make sure I didn't have it. He was worried that I blew out this eye. You know, I said, look, Scott, I don't have a blown pupil. I know enough to be dangerous is what it is. I said, no, I'm not going to get a CT scan, but I promise you this, that if I start having problems, I'll come back and I'll get one. It's $1,500, Scott. I just don't, you know, I'm like my daddy. I'm not fast with a dollar. And he said, okay, well, if you'll promise me that. And so we spent about 4 hours talking about our mission and our work. And what he was doing was questioning me while he was suturing me up and all to make sure I didn't have a concussion or something and have like a 3 or 5 minute loop where you talk about things connected, but that's all you do. And he saw that, you know, I was okay with it. And so he finished up. And I said, Scott, and he was getting ready to go. And I said, Scott, could you just pause just for a minute? I just want to say a prayer of thanks. And I put my hand on his arm. He's standing next to the gurney. I was in a gurney in one of those ER places. And I started praying. Oh, God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you in our work. This warrior, this worker, 5 o'clock in the morning, dog tired, got down on his knees and folded his hands together in the gurney. And we said our short prayer together and we finished. Amen, amen, thank you, Jesus. That's the way I've finished my prayers for a year now. And he got up and I said, thank you, Scott. I said, I guess it's like World War II. There are no atheists in foxholes in Afghanistan. He said, yes. And we laughed about it. But truly, truly a miracle. Truly a witness. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Bill.
Methodists believe in personal testimonies, and some stories are just too good not to share. I want to invite Myra Green down and all the children to come down and join Myra for the children's message.
Stand up for just a second. I want you to stand up and do something for me. Stand up. Come here. I'm not going to make you do anything weird. I want you to turn around and look up there. Do you see? What is that called up there where the people sit? Wave at them. Let them wave back at you. It's called the balcony, right? Okay, I wanted to point that out to you because this story is about the balcony. Now you can sit down. You may not know this. A lot of people in the church know it, but we had a visitor last week in the balcony. And I happen to know him personally. And so I'm going to share his story with you today. Okay? His name is Sammy. And Sammy is a squirrel. Now, this squirrel isn't like the squirrels that you see all over everywhere. You know, you've seen a lot of squirrels, right? You see them running around, their little tails twitching and stuff. This squirrel is a southern flying squirrel. And a southern flying squirrel has something a little bit different. You know what it has? Not wings like a bird, but it's kind of like this robe. It has skin that attaches from its hand to its foot. And so it can glide. And it looks like it's flying and it's gliding all around. Okay? And it can go sometimes 30 feet. If it's on a low branch, it can glide 30 feet. That's a long way. Or if it's really high up, it could fly from the choir loft all the way back. Pretty cool, huh? Now, these squirrels aren't like the squirrels you see running around during the day. They're called nocturnal, which means they come out at night and they hunt and they play and they do everything they do at night. Okay, so that tells you a little bit about Sammy. But how did he get to Main Street? Okay. Now, Sammy had a bunch of friends and they hung around at night. But Sammy's friends started doing things that Sammy didn't like. They were breaking into places. They were tearing stuff up. They were hanging out in the street and on the street corners. And they just weren't doing the things they should have been doing as nice, God's creatures. And Sammy was very aware of the fact that he was God's creation and God's creature. And he would say that to them, you shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff. God created us and we're better than this. Well, he got fed up with them. He says, well, I'm just going to leave you behind. I'm going to go find somewhere else to hang out. And he kept noticing this big building on the corner, which is our church. And he wondered about it. You know, at night he'd see the light that was reflecting up. And so he decided that Saturday that instead of sleeping the whole day away and coming awake at night, he would wake up a little bit early. So he set his little squirrel alarm clock. And when it went off, he snuck into the church before they closed the doors. And he hid. Okay, so this is Saturday night. The church is empty. It's quiet. It's dark. Sammy is having a field day. He is running all over this church. He's checking everything out. He sees the stained glass windows. He sees the pews. He's looking at these rafters and all these things. He even finds a little Skittle that somebody left, and he eats it. And then he's just having this great time. And then it starts to get light outside, and that's when he goes to sleep, right? And so he heard something, and he thinks, ooh, I've got to go as high up as I can and hide. So he scurries up, and he goes up the steps, and he climbs up to the very top of those rafters up there. It's pretty high up. And he hides, and he falls asleep. And people come in, and they're chatting, and they're talking, and the people go in the balcony, and they don't notice Sammy's up there hanging out sleeping. And then all of a sudden, people start talking, and we start singing, we start doing all these things, and Sammy wakes up, and he starts to say, hey, what's going on around here? This is pretty interesting. So instead of sleeping, he starts to listen, and he hears that they're talking about God, and they're talking about Jesus and all these things, and he gets excited. He said, I have found my new home. I have found who I need to be with. I'm going to hang out here. But then, as he starts to listen, and he starts to look down on all the people in the congregation, he notices that they're not as excited as he thinks they ought to be. They're like his old friends. They're just hanging out. And they're not praising God for being his creation. And they're not excited about everything God has created. Some of them are even texting. Or playing games on their iPhones. And Sammy says, this isn't right. And Pastor Phil is up here and he's just ranting and raving and going back and forth. And he's doing his thing. And everybody's up here going, when are we going to eat? And all of a sudden, Sammy gets so excited and he's got something to say. And he flies down. Well, there was a lady sitting on the front row up there and it scared her about into going to heaven to see Jesus. And we were sitting in the choir and we saw her. And she jumps up and she's, and we don't know what's going on. And she's running around up there, and then somebody else starts running around, and everybody's looking up and all this kind of stuff, and then it's like, we got to get this squirrel out. And so everybody's concerned about getting the squirrel out of the balcony. So they finally head him off. Sammy comes down the stairs. Sammy goes out the door. But Sammy was okay with that because he said, you know, people should be with people, and squirrels should be with squirrels. And that's the way it ought to be. And when I go out, I got so much more than those people because I can see what God has created. I can see the sky. I can see the trees. I know instinctively what God is and what he's done for me. And these people are too absorbed in what they're doing in their lives, in their houses, in their cars, and their iPhones. And they're missing the point. So Sammy went back to his friends and he said, I'm still going to be your friend. And I'm going to tell you about God even though you don't want to hear about it. And one day, we just might storm that church and tell those people about it. So if you come in one Sunday morning, there's lots of squirrels around here. You know why. It's because Sammy has gathered the troops to come in to tell us we need to appreciate what God has given us. When you leave here today, I want you to walk out and I want you to see the glory of God's creation outside. The beautiful sun, the trees, at night the stars, the birds, even the squirrels. Okay? And say, praise God and thank you for all that you've given us. Let's have a prayer. You repeat after me, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your creation. Help us to appreciate it and not be distracted by things that are man-made. In your name we pray. Amen.
On Monday, last week when I walked out and they said a squirrel had jumped from the balcony to the back row, I said, he just wanted to get saved. So Sammy the squirrel is now a mythical member of Main Street United Methodist Church. And I'm sure Sammy will soon be with us in costume or with a hand puppet and be telling the secrets of Main Street Church. The studies are in and the data is clear. Nothing changes Christians like Bible study in small groups. And one of the things that we do here is called Disciple Bible Study. You've got a little flyer. And I'm going to invite my dear earnest brother Glenn to come and talk to you about Disciple Bible Study.
I've got to laugh. I'm following Bill Klaum and Myra Schaefer. I don't think I've got a chance, but please, please listen. I know you will. I know you'll be courteous and listen. I was over there just thinking, boy, I tell you, I don't know how I got put in this spot. Disciple Bible Study began in Main Street Church in 1993, September. I took my first course with my mom, Jackie Williams, in 1994. Janice Mora and Tim Sergeant were the leaders. I remember Tim and his enthusiasm as he invited the church to participate. And God called me to be a part of this life-changing journey of transformation through Bible study. I have a database on my computer of 150-plus people in our church who have taken Disciple, at least Disciple 1. Many have taken all four of the courses, and several have taken them multiple times. Disciple has been a springboard for many ministries in our church. A couple of them are Prayer Warrior Ministry, and Genesis Revelation Sunday School class came out of the Disciple program one year. According to Cokesbury, Disciple Bible Study is still the number one choice for in-depth Bible study. Disciple began in the Methodist Church, but has spread to other denominations and also to prison ministry. Disciple Bible Study aims not only for information, but transformation. There's a movement in the Methodist Church to return to the Wesleyan class meetings or the small groups. In Kevin Watson's book, The Class Meeting, he says that Disciple Bible Study is the Bible study that most resembles the class meeting. The group consists of 12 persons plus leaders. 34 weekly meetings last 2.5 hours each meeting. Estimated study time is 45 minutes a day for the daily assignments from the study manual. This sounds like a big commitment, and that's what it is. John chapter 8, 31 and 32 says, "If you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples, and you will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free." Again, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "Study this book of instruction continually, Meditate on it day and night so you will obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Well, these verses sort of sum up what disciple has meant in my life. I love the Word of God. The Word of God is changing me every day from glory to glory. My study time has grown every year. I study more and more. I relish my quiet time early in the morning. And many mornings I'll study a couple of hours before I wake my wife up to go to work. I hear God speak through the Scripture. Hebrews says the Scripture is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. And I found this to be very true. You've got an opportunity to participate in this life-transforming experience. A group or groups will be starting in February. One group is going to meet on Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. Jameson Tinsley and myself will be leading a group. And this is neat. Jameson's grandmother, Miss Margaret Tinsley, many of you who remember Miss Margaret, she was a member of the very first disciple group. And here is Jameson, what is leading what I'm going to call the revival of Bible study at Main Street. In your bulletin this morning, you have a sheet to fill out if you're interested. And I hope you are. Put your contact number and I'll call you and answer any questions you may have about the Bible study. In closing, I know you're thinking time, commitment, schedules, children, work, and a thousand other reasons not to answer God's call. And this is a call from God to do Bible study. And what a wonderful opportunity through Disciple Bible Study. Just say yes, fill out the form, and let God work out the details. Trust Him. Trust Him to take care of the rest, and He will. Trust in this promise. I've already read it. I'll read it again. If you make my word your home, you will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you will look at the top of the back page of your bulletin, you will see a reading of United Methodist doctrine. Nothing is more offensive in our day than the doctrine of original sin. But if we do not get the diagnosis right, we don't appreciate what God has done in Christ. And I'm thankful for a church that is clear. This statement has two "we believe" statements. It invokes the Trinity. It quotes Jesus. And it ends with a good word. This is what our church believes about universal sin and the gift of free will. We Methodists believe human beings are fallen from righteousness and, apart from the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, are destitute of holiness and inclined to evil. That is not a formula for a self-help book or three ways to get better. It will not put you on afternoon television. And that's why it's followed by a quote from Jesus. "Except a man or woman be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God." And then a warning. "In their own strength, without divine grace, human beings cannot do good works pleasing and acceptable to God." And someone says to me, "I don't need Christ. I just hope at the end my good works are better than my evil deeds." I tell them, "You simply do not understand." But look at the hopeful note it ends on. "We believe, however, that man and woman, influenced and empowered by the Holy Spirit, are responsible in freedom to exercise their will for good." If you will take out your scripture sheet, there is not a more difficult or countercultural text in the whole of the New Testament. If you look at all the words in red at the beginning and end, you will see this as a paragraph. And in this passage, Paul says that we exchanged truth for a lie and God gave us up. "For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all impiety and wickedness of men and women who by their wickedness suppress the truth, since what can be known about God is plain to them, for God has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature, namely His eternal power and deity, have been clearly perceived in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Although they knew God, they did not honor God or give thanks to Him, but were made futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they were made fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to uncleanness, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural, and the men likewise gave up natural relationships with women, were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men, receiving in their own person the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a worthless mind and to improper conduct. They were filled with all manner of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, not only do they do them, but approve those who practice them." This is the word of the Lord. For several years, I've been praying a prayer that I have not told any of you. You see, I very well understand that this is not my pulpit. I am a visitor here for a number of years. And that I'm not the only one with a word from the Lord. Now, I'll just tell you, I have a 16-page manuscript here with 30 or so notes. About 25 hours has been invested in this very difficult message, but I'm not going to preach it today. We've already heard the word of the Lord through the gospel choir, and we've heard it through a wonderful storyteller, Bill Clauber, and from Myra Green, and from Glenn Williams, and from the choir. Now, what I have to say is important, but it's not that important. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your scripture sheet home and reflect on what Paul said about the multiple effects of idolatry on the way we understand our bodies and on what it does to our culture. You may even pick up a copy of the manuscript and read it during the week to see if I have been faithful to the scripture. And then come back next week as a reminder that I'm not the only one that has a word from the Lord, and that God has answered my prayer this morning by lining up such a wonderful lineup of witnesses that I don't know that I can preach this message today. And so I yield it to you and to this church with nothing but joy. It probably needs to be in the cooker for another week anyway. So read the scripture sheet. Read the full manuscript ahead of time, which is not my normal practice. And come back next week with your own thoughts about the devastating effects of idolatry on the whole human project. But I do want to give you just a minute, maybe to pray the prayer that I've written as a response. I offer myself in worship and just as I am to you, Lord Jesus. Expose every idol, that I may repent and with your aid tear it down, that you may have the whole of me forever. So take a minute with that prayer, and then we'll sing our hymn. One day this week, I went up in the balcony to pray, and Sammy the squirrel and I had a consultation. And Sammy said that he loves to fly around and that I should pick a hymn about the great outdoors. Hymn number 92, "For the Beauty of the Earth, Please Stand."
Thank you.
Our ushers are prepared to receive your tithing offering. The congregation may be seated.
Day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray: to see Thee more clearly, love Thee more dearly, follow Thee more nearly, day by day, day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray: to see Thee more clearly, love Thee more dearly, to follow Thee more nearly, day by day, day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray: to see Thee more clearly, love Thee more dearly, follow Thee more nearly, day by day, day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray: to see Thee more clearly, love Thee more dearly, follow Thee more nearly, day by day, day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray: to see Thee more clearly, love Thee more dearly, to see Thee more clearly, love Thee more dearly, to see Thee more clearly, love Thee more dearly, oh yeah, yeah, see Thee more clearly, follow Thee more nearly, day by day, day by day, by day, by day, by day.
What do you say except it's time to stand and sing? Let us pray. Oh Lord, how abundant are your riches, and how you love to delight our hearts. We ask that our friends in Honduras would be filled with your Holy Spirit today, and that as they dispense medicines and lay their hands upon the sick, that Jesus and the holy angels would surround them. Lord, you would pour riches upon us that we may not be ready to receive. Would you help us tear down the idols in our lives, the things we trust in and look for happiness in, that are not you. Lord, every day till you return, we will call upon you as Jesus instructed and pray together with one voice. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn is number 362, Nothing But the Blood. Gospel singers to come out, and I'll line up right along here. So come on out quickly. They didn't know I was going to do this. This is called improv. That's why I get to wear the funny clothes. I want the word to spread all over Greenwood that you have seen two holy miracles today. The day Sammy the Squirrel became a church member, and the day the preacher knew when not to preach. Is this not a day of miracles? It's also a day for you to come up and thank all these young people. And could it be that this musical will spark interest in Jesus Christ and raise questions for which only the churches have the answer? What a great day at Main Street Church. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that as we have heard, you may walk with Him day by day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God's people said,
Amen.